Good afternoon. We're resuming our afternoon session, and the lunchtime homework assignment was to evaluate what type of heroine am I? How is it that this human body that we wear, this precious gift, this coordinated effort of millions of cells comes together as the body, the robe we wear, infused with the mind and the purpose that we think of as oneself, an individuated explorer moving across the field of mind. What is the purpose? What is the gift? How is it we've come into being? So that's our question. How do we manifest and reveal the wisdom that is our natural state? Experts, they tell us many things, write many books, and ultimately the understanding is an internal process. The realization is an internal process. And so when we consider the small bit that we've discussed thus far about the life of Yeshe Soigyal, we recognize that she is aware that she is born of space, of Dharmakaya. Through the clear dedication and the vision in the Sambhogakaya realms, that is the realm of luminous light, potential, she manifested a Nirmankaya physical body through the dedication that all beings may be free of suffering and free of the illusion that one is separate from that natural awakened state. And we consider how wearing a woman's body, she was quite courageous, a true heroine, and that people at that time considered women weak, the source of birth, and many thought therefore the source of death. And she wanted to remind people that there is no distinction of gender in Buddha mind, and she also wanted to reveal whatever robe you are wearing, whatever body you are wearing, it is still inseparable from that natural awakened Buddha state. So we've listened to the lives of many wondrous beings, and certainly we know much about the male spiritual beings who have manifested great wisdom and skill. We know of Shakyamuni Buddha, we know of Jesus Christ, we understand the story of Moses, and some of you also understand and know the story of Joan of Arc. Well, there is also Vajrayogini, who is an expression from the realm of luminosity, the potential of wisdom in its most sublime state, expressed through light, thought, and action, interacting with the potentials of elements giving rise to physical form, known as Yeshe Soigyal. So just as she wears many coats around that core of awakened Dharmakaya wisdom, so too does each human being. And part of the conditioning of the times is to think, oh, it's far away. Oh, can I do it? Oh, the potential is within everyone. And so through the Vajrayana teachings, especially the wisdom teachings that were kindly stored by Yeshe Soigyal to be found in these present times, reveal that in a lifetime, one may realize that Buddha nature. Time also is a construct of mind. In the worlds within worlds, when we consider the 32 worlds, the realms of the different Buddha families, this indicates that they are not separate entities existing by themselves, that they are, in a sense, overtones arising from that one field of wisdom potential, the Dharmakaya. So this can expand our view in ways that are extraordinary, because in this moment, the future and the past coexist. And this is the heart essence of what Vajrayogini Yeshe Soigyal realized. I went home to review some of the readings to share with you, and called upon this favorite text called Mother of Knowledge, The Enlightenment of Yeshe Soigyal by Namkhai Singpo, translated by Tarteng Tulku, Dharma Publishing, and published in the year 1983, and is edited by Jane Wilhelms. And so this says very succinctly, a precious message to you about the energy centers within the body, the interaction of the body-mind endocrine system. Upon seeing radiant Vajra Haruka of the ultimate, and by the waves of his laughter and intense power, and fierce facial expression, and his wondrous stance, crying out in a loud voice, overwhelmed Yeshe Soigyal with a brilliant appearance of great bliss, and opened like a blazing sun in the radiant expanse of being. This was the initiation, shaking away all appearances, all concepts. As Yeshe Soigyal herself explained, I felt myself caught up in the mandala of the Guru's discriminating wisdom and skillful means, and my four root chakras were transformed into the great realms of the four Harukas. I received the initiation of the four joys in the universal mandala, which radiated hundreds, thousands, and millions of mystical phenomena, light and seed syllables. When the Lama and I were inseparably joined by powerful waves of blessing from the root chakras of our foreheads, I saw 32 realms gleaming white, and within them radiated the joy of pristine awareness. Wisdom I. In each of the 32 realms were 32 white Harukas in the male and female aspect, and within each of them many hundreds of thousands like themselves. The Lord and Master of all the Harukas in the male and female aspect revealed to me the awakened joy of Yab-yum. The emotion of anger was purified, and the taints of habitual patterns of the body were cleansed. Seeing the branches of the path of application, I was able to benefit seven worlds in the 10 directions, and I received the secret name, Vice Sogyal of Great Bliss. Similarly, within the throat chakra, I gradually saw 16 realms yellow in color, and in them 16 yellow Harukas in male and female aspect. Within these circled, as before, hundreds of thousands like themselves, the masters of all the Harukas, the most precious hero in male and female aspect, revealed to me the joy of limitless good qualities. The emotion of attachment was purified, and habitual patterns of speech were cleansed. Seeing the branches of the path of accumulation, I was able to benefit 20 worlds in the 10 directions. I receive the secret name, Yellow Soulful, increaser of good qualities. Likewise, in the heart chakra, I gradually saw 8 realms, blue, black in color, and within these realms were 8 blue, black arukas, in male and female aspect. In these circled, as before, hundreds of thousands like themselves. In the center, the Lord of all the Harukas, the Buddha hero, in male and female aspect, revealed to me the supreme joy of the Mahamudra. The habitual patterns of mind were purified. Seeing the branches of the path of liberation, I was able to benefit 36 worlds in the 10 directions. I received the secret name, Soulful Commitment Liberate. In the same way, in the navel chakra, I gradually saw 61 realms red in color. Within these realms were 61 Harukas, and male and female aspect. In the center was the Lord of all these, the red Haruka, and male and female aspect, who revealed to me the spontaneous, transcendent, awakened joy. The emotions flavored by grasping were purified, and with them the habitual patterns tainting the three gates. Seeing the branches of the path of complete purity, I was able to benefit unbounded and limitless worlds in the 10 directions. I received the secret name, Soulful of Limitless Pristine Awareness. Here she is describing the pacifying, purifying actualization of her natural wisdom state through initiation. Caught in the mandala of the Guru's discriminating wisdom and skillful means, my 4 root chakras were transformed into the great realms of the 4 Harukas. Receiving the initiation of the 4 joys in the universal mandala which radiated hundreds, thousands, and millions of mystical phenomena, light and seed syllables. Vision is purified through the powerful waves of blessings from the root chakras of our foreheads. Seeing 32 realms gleaming white, and within them radiated the joy of pristine awareness. The pristine awareness was always there. It was just something to quicken them and make it apparent, that pristine, aware potential. Through the initiation, through the action of Guru Padmasambhava, through the empowerment, the Abhisheka, she saw clearly the importance of the view. She saw clearly the pristine quality of the view. All fetters and habitual patterns which may have clouded the view are thus swept away. So it is the movement of the channels and the drops that are stirred like a tuning fork, stirring the strings of an instrument. So the awakened experience, which was naturally within her, was called forth through the initiation acting as a tuning fork, a bell, awakening, sweeping away that which may have occluded that natural, pristine, and pure view. Also, the 32 realms with 32 white harukas and male and female aspect, they point to a dynamic dance, a dynamic truth of forms and appearances arising, magnetism, spiraling clockwise, counterclockwise, energy coalescing, forms arising, this dance occurring within myriad realms, principles of galaxies being formed, inseparable from the dance of a baby conceived and growing in the womb, principles of galaxies expanding, inseparable from the pulse beat of the heart, inseparable from the cranial sacral pulse. So rhythm, pulse, also information, continually flows, concept of I, them and us, then becoming a door, obscuring the view. Ah, inspired. Ah, it is revealed. Pristine awareness is indeed our natural state. So the initiator, appearing to be outside, is also reflected within, and in this sense becomes the pathway of the energy of the Father and the methodology of skillful application of that direct spiritual experience. Now, this spiritual experience, it is also a biochemical experience, because one's consciousness then changes the quality of our brain's chemical production. So, zapped in a sense by the light, no longer are the pathways able to hold the limited view, because zapped by the light, recalling wisdom, pristine awareness, our natural state. So the initiator and the teacher in Vajrayana Buddhism becomes very significant, because that initiator, that root teacher, that first teacher prepares and then with a flash reveals. What is prepared? Your own awareness of your natural state, through shaking, through polishing, through moving through a rough river until you reach the shore. And this way you see, hidden within that apparently unclear stone, is diamond awareness. So this song also reflects the significance of relationship with the spiritual teacher. Ultimately, there is no you or I. Ultimately, there is no distinction. And in the relative sense, we are individuated explorers of the potential of one vast field. So the spiritual teacher reflects that wisdom potential, that is your natural state. And Yeshe Sogyal prepared herself through analysis. Even though she was born a Buddha, each time you are in the world, you also explore the potentials of that individuated form and its potentials. So this experience of exploration takes her to her teacher, and her teacher reveals to her those practices which sweep away the view, reveal the inherent pristine awareness, and clarify 32 channels that relate not only to the movement of blood and lymphatic system, also relate to a more subtle energy that is light. And this light, this luminosity, is undiluted and an expression of the Sambhogaya realm's potential. So vision, pristine awareness, sweet waters of forgiveness reveal, it is within all the time. And so what is to be forgiven? The view that is incorrect, the view that denies one's natural relationship with that pristine wisdom state. Also, by observing the four Harukas, male and female, we are looking at the process of coordination of the elements and the significance of space and time in determining an individual conceptualization. So from this space, then turning, spinning, then arises atomic form. And this dance of the Harukas, you might say that the Harukas are quarks and leptons. And so this dance of the Harukas is seen through the pristine clear eye as inseparable from the original state under expression of the potential of that original state as it becomes a wave and then form. So you can see the Sambhogakaya form as a transition from empty space into the phenomena that we experience as our lives. So the Harukas are also minute particles that in their dance and through the magnetic attraction of the male and female, positive and negative, and their spiraling dance, give rise to form. And also, when we consider the Harukas as an expression of quarks and leptons, we can also understand the interrelationship of our view on the results that arise. For example, it has been shown, and this is an old experiment that was done in the 60s at Brookhaven National Lab in a bubble chamber. People were to observe the outer ring of the atom, and by observing just by looking at the electron as it was coaxed, charged, moved from its outer orbit, the person's view had an impact on its trajectory. So that was a big hint about the connection of consciousness and matter. And you can you can Google bubble chambers and electron orbits to see some of that research. Why is it significant, and why does she make a relationship of her wisdom eye being clarified with the acknowledgement of the Haruka's dance? She is reminding us that how we view the world is determining the results that are arising. So we are not sitting in a field of energy waiting for things to happen, and things are not happening to us. We are part of a dynamic bio and quantum feedback system, whereas our consciousness is also impacting the results that arise. So those people who spoke of positive thought, whether it is through the science of mind or the Christian Scientist Church, they had a direct experience that, oh, our thought has an impact on the results that are arising in our lives. And then, of course, more recently, Joan Baryshnikov, Borzenko, has done research that shows the impact of one's emotions and thoughts and habitual views on the chemistry of the brain. So by correcting our view, by replacing the view of not enough with the view of abundance, one actually enhances the crops production. And how do we know this? Because when we make prayers with the seeds and we keep a ceremonial cycle, we notice we are able to get more corn per acre, more beans and squash when we've prayed with those seeds. So this biodynamic relationship of our consciousness and matter is clarified through this initiation that she's described. Caught up in the mandala of the guru's discriminating wisdom and skillful means, my four root chakras were transformed into the great realms of the four Harukas. The forehead, joy of pristine awareness. White Harukas, natural wisdom, natural view, uncontrived awareness, potential arising continuously. White light, photons dancing, giving rise to appearances, those appearances taking form according to our view. The emotion of anger is thus purified, and the taints of habitual patterns of the body are cleansed. So this is a reference to pristine awareness, uncontrived, appearing to be forgotten when one conceptualizes that this is this, and therefore this is this, and so on. So in a flash, all those interdependent relationships and belief systems dissolve again into the direct perception of pristine awareness. And this is known as joy, the pristine joy awareness. And seeing this, able to benefit seven worlds in the ten directions. Now, the seven worlds, we may think are far away, and yet the direct experience is that inwardly, through a process of resonance coupling, what one experiences also benefits in many realms simultaneously. So when your friend thinks of you, and you call that friend, simultaneously something touched you as he or she thought of you, and you decide to make a call. So this resonance coupling is a natural thing, thought being a field in which there is no separation, the thought moves more quickly than light. So she is expressing to us in an instant, in a flash, through realizing untainted, pristine awareness, myriad worlds are benefited. And did she go anywhere? She just sat fully in the presence of the now. She sits fully in the presence of the moment. So what does that mean in terms of our activities? Well, it means right now, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever the situation, where there appears to be sadness or suffering, let me see its potential as skillful action. Let me see its insubstantiality, inseparable from wisdom states. Let me observe the links of interdependence that have given rise to this experience that appears as suffering. So she sings very clearly about the significance of the four joys and clarifying view. And then we'll read the next section. Similarly, within the throat chakra, I gradually saw 16 realms yellow in color. Oh, another thing about the forehead chakra. With thought is projection, and the thought projection through interdependent relationships becomes the concept of I, them, and us. Also, by seeing and believing I, them, and us have an intrinsic awareness and have a specific task, and then one begins to evaluate which being has more value. And this becomes the basis of self-cherishing, and also it becomes the basis of harm-causing. Because thinking, well, maybe I deserve more, they deserve less. And you can see how it becomes a basis of economic systems. It is a view that arises from thinking, this group has more value than another. So the thinking has created a cause for much suffering and becomes the basis of war. And ultimately, the source of that thinking is pristinely pure when the concepts are shattered. So within the throat chakra, she tells us she saw 16 realms yellow in color, and this is relating to thought. And in them, 16 yellow harukas in male and female aspect. Within these circled, as before, hundreds of thousands like themselves. the master of all the Harukas, the most precious hero, in male and female aspect, revealed to me the joy of limitless good qualities. And the emotion of attachment was purified, and habitual patterns of speech were cleansed. This is very powerful and significant. The emotion of attachment was purified, and habitual patterns of speech were cleansed. Because what we think about ourselves, the background chatter, how we view each other, the inner voice, this becomes the habitual pattern that also becomes the basis of karmic charge. Because thought, energy, it magnetizes and therefore brings to itself that which it energizes. And so this defilement of that natural state is purified with the process of making offerings and apology, giving thanks to all those beings who have been our parents. All those beings who have contributed to our presence in this moment. And in a flash, all those beings may be revealed as one. Because once the attachment to the concept of I existing permanently in a time or space is seen as a projection of the mind, then past, present, and future are recognized right now. So it is very profound and deep, the acknowledgement of the branches of the path of accumulation. I was able to benefit 20 worlds in 10 directions. The master of all the Harukas, the most precious hero, in male and female aspect, revealed to me the joy of limitless good qualities. The emotion of attachment was purified, and habitual patterns of speech were cleansed. So from these habitual patterns of speech and thought arise all isms. Ageism, sexism, any ism you want, it comes from the thought pattern and the speech that expresses and acts out those thought patterns of attachment. So the branches of the path of accumulation having been seen, 20 worlds in 10 directions are benefited. Just by seeing, the emotion of attachment was purified and habitual patterns of speech were cleansed. What does that mean on a simple level? On a very simple level, it means a negativity fast. Yep. That we are not going to say unkind things about ourselves or others. And also that we consider what is the significance of our speech. We can say, you may have heard people say this, I'm dying to get there. Really living to be here. So just to take note of some of the conditioning speech patterns that are endemic within a culture that entrap one another into repetitive patterns of behavior. So just to hear, oh, speech this way is seeking to fulfill itself. So when you hear someone say, I'm dying to get there, or dying to understand, replace that with, we're living to understand, we're living. to manifest that seed of wisdom potential within ourselves and the situations that we share. So her expression of non-attachment and her realization of its true meaning clarified the throat chakra. Clarifying the throat chakra then enhances that natural capacity to manifest, to bring forth whatever is needed. And she later goes on to raise someone from the dead because she has understood these four joys. And these things really happened. There are many witnesses, it is historical, and there is evidence that this occurred. And it is not only in the past, that even in this time, people have been through the power of prayer, and they didn't call themselves anything. They didn't call themselves Buddhist or Christians. I experienced this, and I'll make a quick aside, a quick story, because my children tell me it's better if I tell a story, you can understand more. So, a few years ago, I was in Costa Rica meeting with very extraordinary people. And it was one of those pivotal moments in time. And it was an opportunity for deep healing. It was a meeting of religious leaders from around the world. And the Dalai Lama was there, an envoy of the Pope was there, and spiritual teachers from many religious traditions were there. And there was going to, as a culmination of this gathering, be a meeting at a wonderful cathedral where a statue of the Holy Mother had been found, naturally formed in the earth, and therefore a cathedral was built. It was actually an indigenous group's perception of the Holy Mother that they had formed of mud. It was found there in the Catholic Church. Ah, it's the Holy Mother, we'll build here. And many things occurred, and because of identification with the idea of Holy Mother only having this form, therefore, Catholic Church, our way is the right way. Your indigenous way, it has no significance. So building this wonderful cathedral, which is on a sacred vortex of energy where prayers radiate into myriad realms, so it was. Here we were again, after 500 years, a group of many different religious people to pray in this sacred land, in this sacred space. And the Pope's envoy said, don't you bring any other Indians here. And I just said, then you know they're here. So went and found them, and just as the procession is about to go into the cathedral, and the Dalai Lama and the Pope's envoy are heading the procession, and there are TV cameras from all over the world there, and particularly it's being shown live in all of the Spanish-speaking world, which is quite large. And the Dalai Lama sees us walking. The little Indian men, they have on rubber boots because they live in the rainforest, and they're really tiny, and our arms are linked. And the Pope's envoy is really annoyed. And the Dalai Lama understands immediately, and he moves aside and makes it very apparent that we are to go first into the cathedral. And so before that, Costa Rica said it had no Indians. Officially, there were no Indians. So that simple movement, what? They're here, oh my gosh. And then to see the faces of the people in the cathedral, many who had Native American ancestry but had bought into the idea of savage ignorance, they were really angry. Why did you do this? Why did you bring this person here? Because attached to the view that they are now modern people and no recognition or acknowledgement of those who've gone on before and made it possible for them to be present in the moment. And so they were really angry. If eyes could shoot daggers, theirs were. And the little men are just hanging on to me and they're literally shaking. And we walk forward to the front of the cathedral and cameras are flashing, and then at some point a huge beam of light comes down from above. This light just appears, and then all of the people who were angry and ashamed of their own ancestry, they started crying. There was such a release of energy. And from that came the possibility for people who were invisible to receive health care. They weren't even considered existent. Concept, view, we don't see you, we don't want to see you, therefore you don't exist. And then the deeper level of healing, the most important level of healing, so that all would know that there's really only one Holy Mother, whether she is looking like an Indian statue, a Buddhist statue, a European statue, she is still the Holy Mother. And so these two little men stood up and they sang a song about a great Bribri leader who had been torn and quartered in the plaza of that very cathedral. So again, this issue of the quartering, the four directions, his punishment for saying, hey, we're going back to the forest because you're making slaves of us, was to dismember him. And it did not quell the tribe's inclination to live naturally in the forest. They still went. And it left an obstacle between the indigenous people and the church in working with a very holy site. And so when they sang their song honoring this person, yeah, Pope's envoy started shaking because he was very, very well schooled and he knew the history, and he began to shake, and then you could see tears falling from his eyes. And there was just a huge sense of relief throughout the cathedral, throughout the plaza, and people who saw it on TV said they even felt it in their hearts. And so that's the power of dissolving conceptualizations of them in us. No blame, no shame, just the recognition that we have all arisen from the same place. So when Yeshe Soigyal speaks of the speech being purified, I think we can each look in our own lives at examples where that has occurred. And it's good right now. Let each one of us just reflect in our personal experience upon that moment, some moment in our lifetime where a concept of them and us dissolved into an awareness that we are dancing together in a dream.
So you do have access to the experience of the dissolution of idea of unlike. We can see that what looks like differences or disagreements can and do indeed resolve into the light of awareness, and it begins with the dedication of our speech and the clarity of our view. Then she says, likewise in the heart chakra, I gradually saw eight realms, blue, black, and color. And within these realms were eight blue-black harukas in male and female aspect. In these circled, as before, hundreds of thousands like themselves. In the center, the lord of all the harukas, the Buddha hero, in male and female aspect, revealed to me the supreme joy of Mahamudra. The habitual patterns of mind were purified. Seeing the branches of the path of liberation, I was able to benefit 36 worlds in the 10 directions. I received the secret name Sogyal, whose commitment liberates. The heart is an incredible organ. We understand that it pumps the blood through our bodies, and we also understand that it creates hormones that sustain us, and that our emotions have an impact on the health of the heart, and also the type of hormones and the amount of hormones that it secretes. Also, the heart is a biomagnetic organ, and it has around it a double spiral, clockwise and counterclockwise spiraling energies, which can be seen clairvoyantly and through research done at the medical school of the University of Arizona. It has become clear that there are magnetic fields around the heart. And these spiraling fields, they express the same pattern as spiraling galaxies. And the pulse and the spiral of these electromagnetic fields are supported by the fluidity of our spine and the pulsing, the resonance coupling pulse of our cranial sacral pulse, which is also connected to the pulse of the heart of our galaxy. So that's an experience of many mystics, and more it becomes apparent to scientists that rhythm, pulse, and sound have a significant effect upon the well-being of the body. And our thought has an impact, because our thought is also rhythm, pulse, and sound, has an impact on our own body and also our environment. And so it becomes, at least to this one, more clear the process of interdependency, how our view contributes to the well-being and the healing of our family, clan, our nations, and the land. We can accept, oh, it won't work, or we can say, yes, it will. And how do we know this is possible? We know it's possible through experiments done in California, where high school students who were very well accomplished and excellent students being part of an experiment without their knowledge, teachers changed in the middle of the year, a new teacher is brought in, and the new teachers brought in are told, these are our lazy students, these kids just don't produce, we don't know why. And so the new teacher comes in believing these are lazy students, these are not good students. And those students who had been so productive, so inquisitive, so brilliant, their capacity began to drop so quickly that they decided to end the experiment because of the view, the projection of our view. There is a bioresonant coupling effect. And so this is why it is important that we look and see that Buddha mind, Christ mind, whatever you call it, mind, in everyone, in every situation. And we also understand how that knowledge of the view affecting the result has become the basis of advertising. The Hopis say that you know the world is ready for purification when the creative process, when the beauty of the mother is used to sell things. So we're really ready for purification. This is the time, it's right within us right now, to reclaim that creative power of speech, view, and action, acknowledging that mother wisdom and the expression of female form is giving birth to a just world. So it is not just a dream, but it's not that we only think it's going to be better. We also take the steps. This is part of the Bodhisattva activity. We take the steps to help it be a better world. And so what are those steps? On a simple level, they're talking with those who are in need and showing the ways in which they may and are accomplishing. And also understanding what are the patterns that really do make for change and growth on an individual, family, clan, and community level. So when Yeshe Soipil speaks of benefiting myriad worlds, also we too have that capacity. And so what is it that really makes change in one's own life? Because what makes change in our own life is what we can echo, sing out loudly, send as a ripple so that others remember, oh yes. So that oh yes is perceived directly through the heart. And oh yes is also the heart that listens without judgment. Ah, human being, let me hear, let me see. And so as we are with each other, as we listen to one another, in our everyday activities, we have the opportunity to be practicing bodhisattvas by listening without judging, just listening. And so listening or being a witness becomes the basis for the revelation of wisdom and understanding and resolution. Here comes another Grand Mahani story. A few years ago, walking in Santa Barbara, it's a really beautiful town, and this inexorable deep peace came over me and longing. There was something calling me, so I was with my German publisher friend, and we were walking about, and he wanted to show me some crystals, and I said, oh, I have to go outside right now. And wanting to be polite, because he's an elder, and I know he doesn't quite walk as fast as I did at the time, and really running away and leaving him, because this energy was calling. And out in a plaza were four people. I think they were all women. They were all dressed in black. And they were just standing there. It was very powerful. Ooh. They were standing there, witnesses to peace. There was no fanfare. A little thing behind them spoke of the war that was occurring at the time and America's involvement in it. And it was their silence and their witnessing to our potential for making peace that pulled me like a magnet to see them in the plaza. This is the power within human beings. Just as they called me forth from the store, we can also call forth and elicit that wisdom potential of true reconciliation. There are other ways we can exist in the world. Do you vision them? By visioning how it is we can cooperate as human beings, how resources may be enhanced, shared in the system of human family, that becomes an attractor. If we say we are against something, anti this, anti that, is giving energy to that which you're anti to. Because that reactive state makes more reaction. So these witnesses for peace, they were a most incredible demonstration of the power of our thought. So Yeshe Soigyo is understanding that. She's expressing that in her initiation and experience of the four joys. This is flashing through her mind that she may energize, magnetize, liberate that wisdom potential in every being. Her heart, a vortex, a field of energy. All appearances in this field resonate with that pulse of luminous awareness, that great compassion, pristine awareness, non-attached intelligence. All this is revealed in the awakening of the four joys. And it's within each of us. So what makes the change? How do we initiate change? What changes you? So we can read the book. It says meditate, avoid wrong company. There is a long list of keeping the vows. That's the easy part. There's the list. And what is the actualization within one's own life and heart? What works? Often it's a memory, a taste of that moment of realization in your own life where one view shifted into another and action therefore changed. And that's what we can share with one another. That's truly bodhisattva activity when we, like those witnesses for peace, can resonate that experience of, ah, yes.